Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. Hey folks, how you doing? My name is Freddie Wong. I put a little pause in there because I know there's a little musical break, but everyone thinks it's funny. But when you hear it, it sounds professional as hell. Freddie Wong, professional podcaster, professional audio boy, in your ears and in your hearts. Throwing it to you, Will.
Hi everyone, I'm Will Campos, screenwriter, podcaster, story boy.
Hi, my name is Matt Arnold. I'll do an old-fashioned one. Hi, my name is Matt Arnold. I am writer, director, second, first and foremost, proud father of a walking baby girl. That's right, proud father of a walking baby girl. Baby girl took first steps, so happy dad today.
When's she gonna dunk?
Oh, that's next. It's crawling, walking, dunking. And you know, I don't do that bullshit where I start at with a baby basket, 2 feet. It's 10 feet from the beginning, straight up. NBA
height. Do you learn to dunk before you learn to juke?
Ooh.
Let's jam, gentlemen.
Let's jam.
This is a story jam.
NBA and the story break jam 2020.
And the story we're windmill dunking into the basket is...
From downtown
is a little movie called Heaven Heist. It's about a crew of criminals who are...
It's about a crew of boom shakalaka criminals.
It's about a crew of the 1998 Chicago Bulls.
It's about Karl Malone and Stockton, the unstoppable duo of the Utah Jazz, as they try to break into the Celestial Bank of Heaven and steal a golden basketball so they can dunk it back on Earth.
It's about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven. It's Coco meets Point Break meets Space Jam. And right now it's a cooking anime.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. Where we left off last week, our crew have decided they need to get into Sai Shen's...
House party or
house
something.
House party, baby. His garden party.
His block party. Sai Shen's parents are out of town, and he decided to throw a low-key party for him and his nerdy friends.
All the seniors
heard about it.
And he just wants to make out with... Looking up another god.
But the only problem is that Jin's grandma's dumplings are terrible and are not worthy of a deity.
They want to get her dumplings up to snuff so that Sai Shen will pick her to cater his big party so they can sneak a bunch of money in to make him perform a miracle.
Yes. And the previous scene we got to was that they all tasted the dumplings. They're terrible. And they're now going to help the grandma make wonderful dumplings.
Yes.
Again.
And we know that there's some sort of dark thing in
reason,
her past that
yes.
is causing this true master dumpling chef
yeah,
to have lost her magic.
We more or less know what the scene is to a degree. It is going to be, she is going to rediscover her joy of cooking dumplings because her family's recipe is tainted with the troubled past of, we were saying, her and the grandfather, who
yes.
was some sort of bad relationship that ended poorly, and that she was going to essentially finally move on. There's this idea that, again, forgiveness being a way of... removing the bitterness and anger of yourself. It's not about condoning what the person did. It's about removing the bitterness that's deep
yes,
inside you.
Yes, they say that hating someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
That's great. Exactly. And so that poison is in her dumplings
yes.
now.
Okay. All right. Because yeah, we had kind of talked about this a little bit like in the sequence in Tampopo, the ramen noodle western of from Japan, where they take the struggling ramen chef like all over Tokyo and they start observing how other people are making their food and making the ramen, and she learns lessons from each of them.
Yes.
We go into the kitchen and Tequila has asked her to show him how she cooks her dumplings, right?
Yes.
So it feels like you cut into her making a dumpling for Tequila, right?
Yes, or they're watching, yes. Or, like, yes, you're making a batch of
dumplings. It's like the first step is, we got to break it down to fundamentals, you know? Just like in a game of basketball, when someone just is laying up bricks, you start with the fundamentals. And the fundamentals here is your meat mixture and your exterior shell game.
Your
ESG, your exterior shell
your
game.
Your ESG.
This is almost like its own heist now, in the same way that a heist is a series of actions that you need to come up with and then, how to solve each one. Do you sit there and watch her do a whole dumpling and they're like, okay, here's the problem? Or do you essentially kick off this thing with, the first thing she does is, mix the flour and rolls it out. It's, all wrong. And then you, cut to, they go someplace and they see, whatever, they see how this dumpling's rolled in. He's like, the problem is there's no joy anymore. You don't treat the dough bad. And then you cut back and then she's making the filling. And he's like, wrong. And then it cuts to, they're watching somebody pull shrimp out of the ocean. He's like, you have to treat the filling as if you care about every single shrimp that's included or something like that. Like, do you go like piece by piece like that?
I kind of like that.
And then the last thing, what's great about that is the last thing, the thing that gets to the heart of it with the grandfather can be like the actual closing the shell, which is like maybe something they like did together, or it's like, it seems like the most like, I don't know, like the actual just like wrapping it and putting it all together is this like the hardest part for me. I'm trying to think of like what
or it's like the
let's real quick, a topic near and dear to my heart, proper perfect dumpling technique.
Okay,
first and foremost, the mark, according to my mom, actually, she talks about this a lot, the mark of a good dumpling is the thinnest possible outer shell. Mm-hmm. And what makes it difficult is the thinner you get, the more likely you're going to encounter breakage, right?
Yeah.
So just like a piece of pottery, right? You need thin walls because you don't want the dough to be the dominant thing. It's about the transporter for the medium.
It's
of
the Jason meat. Statham.
It's the Jason Statham of the meal. It's transporting
It's the three series BMW perfectly tuned for three people in the back seat,
exactly,
not four.
You want a real dumpling. You don't want like that weird Chicago dumpling where they made the
rule
the,
number one is never open the back of the dumpling and see what's inside.
Yeah. But you know what you could do, which is I've seen just as, and this is just a side effect, but a thing to test the filling and the ratio is you definitely have the thing where you'll see master potters do this. They'll throw a cup or a teapot and then they'll just take it off and cut it in half so you can see how thin the walls are. And like sometimes you'll see these guys on YouTube and they'll do it and you're just like, oh, but he did it so perfectly. But you're like, no, that's the point. They can do it so perfectly and so effortlessly, it doesn't matter to them to cut apart one of their creations. So it definitely feels like they need to cut it apart and be like, look, your walls are uneven, you know, as a way of like testing.
Well, but is the problem, but it's like, look, you're fully committing to the, like, she's a really good chef. It's just the secret ingredient is love and she doesn't have the secret ingredient anymore. Like, it's like,
oh, I mean, but I think that's just another way to illustrate it, right?
No, like, I actually think, like, if anything, she'd be indignant because she's like, it's perfect, right?
Yeah,
like,
she'll cut it and show it that it's like a flawless shell and all that stuff.
Like, anyway, I was gonna ask, do you do the whole dumplings done and they open it up, or do you go step by step? That's why I'm trying to figure out, like, kind of like this way to structure this.
By the way, can you do, because I do like the idea that you do, maybe the way they test the dumplings is like how much, like, because you hold it up to see like how transparent it is. Mm-hmm. But then what you do is they hold it up to a light and then they use one of those cinematographer's light temperature tools to test the light on the other side of the dumpling. Like, oh, you only got to three stops. This is like, you might as well wrap that thing in an ND filter.
That's a little esoteric for our...
I know, but that's what I like about it.
Is this steamed dumplings?
Steam, yeah.
Okay.
So get out of here, that pan-fried bullshit.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a thing.
What is this, Volcano?
Yeah, excuse
get
me.
Get out of here.
Oh, what? It's not a thing?
Is this the add-ons line at the Panda fucking Express? You think she's wrapping fortune cookies in the back and writing out fortunes? I'm sorry, I made Matt look so sad right now. Like, Matt looks so bummed out. I'm sorry, Matt.
I mean, I think fried dumplings is, like, not... an American thing.
My entire childhood. My entire childhood. My entire childhood. Matt Arnold is just
by pointing out that other says some people eat fried dumplings
in China,
negating your childhood.
But your general traditional northern Chinese is fully steamed.
Okay, so steamed. So again, trying to break it down because it feels when we talked about it last week, it didn't make sense that she didn't know what she was doing, like Tom Popo.
Yeah.
It was more that each element is going to be something that she is missing emotionally.
Yes.
Like it's not about that she doesn't know how to roll the dough. It's that when she does it, Jin is like, your shoulders are stiff. Why does this feel like you're doing work? It should be meditation when you roll out the dough. And then like cut to, you know, something else, something that she's got to deal with each time, less than like you don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes,
I agree.
Okay. Like in Tom Popo, when they're showing how to eat the ramen, and the old man explains each process, like stare.
First, you have to stare at it for 30 seconds.
30 seconds, stuff like that. Like she's missing the love of it.
All right. I like the idea of doing each of the different steps of the dough, or like of the thing, and like then kind of like I think you can do a cut from the thing to them observing something. Do you know what I mean?
Because the steps would be rolling out the dough, making the filling, making the dumpling, and then steaming it. And the steaming, it feels like the end of it all. Like, and maybe she watches it and she's just, she can't just let it go anymore or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
okay, rolling out the dough, I like as like a nice simple action, like the, you know, making the circle from the ball of dough. And then you have like the packing the dumpling with the filling as like another kind of like simple movement that you could do something around.
Mm-hmm.
Again, yeah, you have the wrapping the dumpling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, you could be doing like a cut with each of these. How is it not just the same thing three different times? You're like, you don't do this with love. You don't do that with love. Wrong. You don't do like,
they have to be different and they have to kind of evoke. I think you'd have to like it's different every time. So like, yes, it can't be the same thing every time. It can't just be like, you're too stressed out when you do this. And the next one's like, you're also still stressed out when you do this. It needs to be something very different.
I think you do. There are these three steps, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's three things and, you know, some internal thing, some different thing is about her is mm-hmm. expressed in each one of them. Right. And then essentially, I think you do. Jin is watching this. And then by the end of the third one, Jin understands what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you want to like hint at it the right way.
Oh, so you're not explicitly stating it every time.
I think Tequila is there to be like, it's like your muscles are too tense when you roll out the dough. Like someone, you're angry about something.
Here would be,
right?
I was about to say, here would be the
and
thing.
Then it's like, you know, she's, you know, like one is that she's angry and then one is that she's bitter or that she's sad. And then like, you know, the third one is that she doesn't care or like is an indifference, right? And he's like, you know, like what could inspire all these emotions in grandma? Or
I'd say the dumpling one should be, I know it's like supposed to be as thin as possible. Maybe there's always like a divot in the center that gets like too thin, so her dumplings are bursting or whatever. And it should be, she carried the weight of her family on her shoulders for so long. And it's like that extra weight keeps pushing, like she, it's like literally weighing down her shoulders and making her push the thing too much. And it's like not until she realizes, like, you release that weight.
There's some, you have a weight
on your shoulders.
Yeah, like a weight on your shoulders is interesting. Let's talk, just to take a step back,
Grandma.
Let's talk about Grandma. Let's talk about what the actual, like what happened with the grandfather. Because I think we're still a little cryptic about that.
Yes.
So is this something that happened to her while she was alive? You could also do like, she died. Okay, hear me out. Mm-hmm. She died hoping to see grandpa up here in heaven and then found out he isn't up here because he was cheating around. He's tomcatting around on her the entire time they were married and she never knew about it.
Interesting. That could be like its own movie. Okay, so she didn't know. If you did that, like, Jin wouldn't know.
Jin, or maybe Jin does know. Maybe everyone knew about her, and they all lied to
and
protect
he,
her from
he
it.
He just assumed that, and then he doesn't realize that she's found out.
Where is he? He's like, he's alive.
Grandma, why are your dumplings bad now that you're in heaven? If you're going to do that version, like, he could also say the dumplings taste gross, too. Because it would be
that
they're different
now. I guess that's true,
because
that's not...
For some reason, ever since she's come to heaven, she can't make good dumplings.
It's like, oh and my God, because, what happened to your dumplings? Like,
again, it's this more existential, metaphorical, like, there's an intangible element to food and art that you can't describe, which, yes, I know food is literally molecules and science, but, like, if this was music, that's the way it is. It's like, oh, you just... There's something,
yeah, it's like something can missing.
It's not literally like in Kids on the Slope, it's not literally like he plays the wrong notes. It's just like, you play the notes perfectly. It's just not good sounding. Like, it's just, it's missing the soul. It's the same thing with the food. It's just like, it's bitter.
It's funny. It is one of those things. I'm sure this drives food people up the fucking wall, because speaking as a musician, like, that's just the biggest load of bullshit of all time. Like, the idea that every time Yo-Yo Ma plays Box Cello Suite number one, it's amazing because he's playing with his heart. It's like, he probably fucking plays, he's played that thing 8 billion times. The reason he's good at it is he's fucking an incredible cellist and he's practiced his ass off.
Yeah, I know, Will, but like, Captain America doesn't always punch good because he remembers Bucky. Sometimes he just fucking punches good. So that makes it a movie.
Okay, all right. So when did the dumplings go bad?
I think when she,
they can't have always been bad,
right?
Because Tequila says they're good, right?
Yeah, I think the idea was that if we were doing something where like the grandpa was a bad person and died, it'd probably be like after he died.
Mm-hmm. But it does feel like you could do it like when she's in heaven. Right? Like that they were. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's also Jin would know if, like, her, if she started making shitty dumplings on Earth, like her restaurant would have been done bad, and Jin would know about that. Like, the.
Do we say that she owns a restaurant?
Yeah, not necessarily.
I mean, I was just thinking about what we talked about last time. I'm fine with it being in heaven, too. If there's, like, I think that can work as well. We had talked about that, like, Jin stayed around and like supported his grandma and kept eating her dumplings even if they tasted bad, and just kept telling her like they were good because
that's right
and that just became
right.
he says I love you.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then he internalized it.
So it's always been bad. They've always been kind of bad.
No, like they got bad.
I think they were always bad, dude. I think Jin's always just been in denial. That's why he's so oblivious to it. And I think you could even like hint at this when you talk about the.
Okay, I got it. I got it. She's not a. She was not a chef on Earth, right? Like she was, you know. But she was a really good at making dumplings.
Sure, sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then yes, after her husband, you know, after her this falling out with grandpa or whatever, you know, she was brokenhearted and bitter and. Because then it ties it back to Jin. Jin never knew how to tell her about it, so he would always just say the dumplings were really, really good, right? Like, yes. That was his way of complimenting her and making her feel better.
Yes.
Right? That was what we had been talking about.
Yes, that's what we've been talking about.
So, all right.
Like, again, if metaphorically, if we take those three things, I was trying to think of, like, working backwards. Like, that's what I was trying to do with, like, the dough. It's like, okay, like, you got pressed down on it. So, like, a weight on your shoulders. Like, we can get into what the specifics that is, but, like, okay, there's something that's weighing down on her. So, that's going to be something that they have to fix. Like, if you're mixing the filling, it could be either there's some spice missing, or it could be that, like, she's, you know, not patient enough to mix it correctly. Or I'm trying to think of, like, again, equivalent. Like, what's a thing that could be a problem with you? And then, again, we'll tie them all back to what the grandfather is, but I'm just trying to think of, like, the... Like
okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can do this. So yes, if you were gonna do this, goes into grandma's whole existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you would do, and this is maybe even before Jin's time. This might have been when his mom was a little girl, mm-hmm. but you would do that. Yes, the father left and just, you know, ran off, you know, with a showgirl or something like that. And then she had to take care of the family, right? Like she had to step up and, you know, take care of everyone in his absence. And then, yes, you would do that. What he's sensing in rolling the dough. And it used to be cooking was this act of beautiful joy for her because she had this love, you know, which she felt like was love in her life. And then this was taken away from her, right? So in the roll of the dough, she has the weight of her family on her shoulders, right? And in the meat, like he can taste, you know, the tears of this heartache, right? And then in the steaming, she always oversteams them because she's boiling with rage.
Yes, that's a classic.
Oh,
the boiling with rage is good. It always goes on a little bit too far. That's great. I'm trying to think of the mixing one. I guess you could do, is she like literally crying? That's straight up, I mean, we could
challenge soccer.
Crying in the dough or whatever.
Oh, okay. Hear me out. This is going to be something, just go with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat the filling, there's like a lot of onions in it. Right?
Okay.
Like there's too much onion in it. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes this is the only time she lets herself cry is when she's chopping the onions for the filling.
Oh my God. That's like, her way of,
you know what I mean? Like she's so emotionally repressed. She doesn't want to cry over that bastard who fucked her over. Right. But she has all this emotion that needs to come out. So she chops onions and she chops a shitload of onions and she's actually crying while she's chopping the onions, but she gets to tell herself it's just the onions.
Okay. I'm trying to think of how that,
and then there's just a shitload of onions in the filling.
She keeps chopping onions because she needs to keep chopping onions until she's done crying.
Yes, something like that.
So she cuts too many onions.
Okay, so yeah, okay.
Right? And then so that's why the meat tastes weird.
So, but how do you make it not just be, okay, just cut less onion? You know what I mean? Like,
no, but it's about why. Why? Why does your grandmother's mixture have so... And again, it's like, he looks at these beautifully julienne chopped onions, right?
He's using it to be like, instead of like, here's how we're going to improve it. Yeah, okay, so the tack shouldn't be like, here's the step-by-step way to improve it. It is, this is saying something, we need to diagnose the illness. It's more house than it is...
Yeah, I mean, he could just say, roll your, you know... dough better, but it's like,
and
know,
then what's fun is Jin's energy could just be like, see, it's perfect, like look at that, like you know, and so he's like really defensive about it. I see. Okay,
yes, okay.
Do you like the onion thing? I like the onion thing.
Yeah, I like the onion thing with a cry. I'm trying to think of the specific
there feels like a little bit of mystery to that. Do you know what I mean? Like at first they're just like, why is she chopped so many onions? Why is she put so many onions in here? Has she lost her sense of taste? Like what's going on? And then you see her chopping onions, chop, and she's wiping tears out of her eyes. You know what I mean?
It's like, look.
Okay, it's close. To Freddie's point, I think if it's just because they could solve it by just doing less onions. Just bear with me. It's like you want something like a little bit more. The dough being like that, there's something wrong with it because there's just too much weight. Or the last thing, like I guess it's like too long. But again, how long the dumpling should be is a little bit of an imperfect science, anyways, right? It kind of sense when the dumplings are done and like pull them out, or there's like a specific amount of time. But like you know, it's a little bit different. I'm trying to think of there's like how do you stop yourself from crying with onions?
Mm-hmm.
Just having a really sharp knife like stops the oils from squirting out, mm-hmm. or whatever. Maybe she hasn't sharpened her blade because again this is the only time she can cry, and it's like that subtle difference is like the onions, just like there's something slightly off of the onions, the texture of the filling is just slightly off, but everything seems perfect when they watch her. It's like she cuts it correctly and all stuff, and it's just the subtlety of before she made perfectly
You're
chopped
saying, like,
onions.
What's the deep level?
She hasn't sharpened her blade ever since then, because the dull blade is like the excuse for her to cry. And when they're chopping onions, they're like, oh my god, there's so many tears. Well,
well, then Jin can be like, look at that, she's crying over this. He's like, she should not be, though. Where's the honer? It's like, she doesn't. What? What do you mean?
He blows dust off the knife sharpener.
Yeah.
Yes.
This hasn't been
used.
Why
has she sharpened her blade?
Why have you sharpened your blade? It's the only way she can allow herself to cry, is this excuse of chopping onions.
Now, is he that incisive in that moment? Probably, right? Because we're doing this at a hyper speed.
Yes. I like actually going into the detail of being like, look at her blade, and you cut to like a micro, magnifying glass, like seeing the blade is dulled, and as it cuts through the onion, it splits these cells that squirts the oil out and goes straight into your eyes, and it makes you cry. He's like, if her blade was sharp, shing! And he's like, shoo, it cuts right through, and no juices come out. She should know this. Why doesn't she sharpen her blade?
Yeah.
A true chef would.
Why does she not sharpen her blade?
Because when you do that, because she cuts that's what it is. It's so detailed. But because the onion is cut so small, right? Think about this way. It's cut so small. Like if it was to better explain it, if it was like orange slices, you cut orange slices so thin that it's literally the width of the single, you know, like those little pockets of juice.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In an orange or a grapefruit?
Them goose sacks, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they look like, they look like alien sacks.
Those teardrops.
Imagine if you slice it so thin that it was just the width of one of those always. Well, if you did a dull blade, every one of those would pop open.
So the onions are dry because she's
The onions are the right thickness, but there's some of the essence is missing because they're getting spread out from all. He's like, look at her. Nobody chops onions more finely than her. Yeah. How could this be bad? He's like, because all the essence is getting spread out because she's using not a sharp enough blade, because it's the only way she allows herself to cry.
Okay, that's one.
That's very good. All right, so yes, we have the rolling the dough, the weight of the world, that's very good. We have the chopping. And then, you have the steam is the rage, right?
Yeah, so how would that, I'm trying to think, like, how, this is so weird. This is such a weird thought exercise. How can the act of steaming dumplings be emblematic of your own personal traumas?
Well, so there's this great line.
It doesn't need to be the steam, but...
No, it seems good because there's this great line.
Steam is good. There's a good visual
thing. Yeah.
What is it in souffle, if it's burnt?
Burnt souffle.
Andre.
What a bad day.
No.
Souffle rise.
Time to
eat, guys.
A woman happy in love, she burns a souffle. A woman unhappy in love, she forgets to turn on the oven.
What is that from?
It's from
Sounds like Sabrina.
Is it Sabrina? What's the one that she goes to France?
That's Sabrina.
Yeah, Sabrina.
I called it Sabrina.
Yeah. Dang, Will, classic lit.
But yes, the idea is that a woman happy in love, she burns it because it's like whatever. It's just a theory. It's like burns with her passion, so she overburns.
She's not paying attention to what she's doing because she's happy.
Yes, an unhappy person in love just forgets to turn on the oven in the first place because she's sad. So
that seems weird, because if I was happy, I'd be totally stoked to make dumplings.
If Freddie was happy,
I have a lot more.
It'd be.
I think we just got. I think Freddie's depressed. I think Freddie just told us that he's depressed. Are you not happy, Freddie?
No, I'm good, man. I'm fucking rad.
Here's what it is. Again, also to the microcosm level.
Again,
I'm imagining it's just.
Have you seen my life, dog? It fucking rules.
In the same way that you like, again, the super anime style, like breaking down something to like the nth degree is very fun. It would be Takeda's watching her as she gets ready to take the dumplings off the heat. Mm-hmm. And he's like, a true master knows that there's like a perfect millisecond to take it off.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, there's a test. You do a toothpick test. You can toothpick do a toothpick test.
Okay, well, then that defeats the purpose because once it's tested. Okay, but the point is like watches her and she knows like she's a master. So the moment it's time, she reaches out. But then there's this pang where she stops for a moment and her eyes wander and then she goes back to it. It's like she remembers something. There's like something that's bugging her.
You know what it is? She takes it and then she grips it. She squeezes it and like pushes down on the lid for a second before pulling it out. And it's her just stuffing her feelings down. Do you know what I mean? Or it's her like
that act of compression is creating you know what'd be crazy? You do like
she's smothering those dumplings. No, like she hates someone. She wants those dumplings to suffer.
Here's what it is. When she does that, it's like, oh my god, it's like, well, whatever. It's just taking the lid. It's like, no, don't you see? And it gets into like a really intense diagram. It's like by pushing down the lid, she's increasing the internal pressure of the chamber.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
As you know, pressure cookers cook faster. So in fact, she's introducing time dilation to the dumplings. Those 1 second is actually the same as 20 seconds with how much pressure she's doing. And that 20 seconds is the difference between a good dumpling and an overdone dumpling, Jin. Don't you see that?
Yeah, combined with a weak wall of the thin dough.
When we combine all three of these, it's like a Sherlock Holmes thing. When you combine the weak walls and the slightly lumpy dough all together, this means...
The overly minced onions whose cellular walls are already weakened by her dull blade, when combined with the extra pressure of pushing down the steam, they burst the onions, causing the bitterness to spread through the thing soaking into the walls of the overly thin dough.
You should have one person on the crew back. Can you even taste that? It's like, of course you can taste that.
Of course you can taste it. Well, you don't taste it
with your tongue. You taste it with your heart.
She
was just looking at the virgin. Also, this meat's gone bad.
Yeah.
In the background, it's very clear the meat's gone bad, and then just in the background, you just see Brandy and Cognac just order new meat, and that's explicitly what actually fixed the dumplings.
But they also managed to like Sherlock Holmes their way into
tequila, this obnoxious, just like that's a great
yes. Like she smells it, and she's like, "Does this smell weird to you?" And she's like, "Oh God!" And he just it's in
what
the
is- Oh, do you know what it is?
Yes, that's so good. I love it.
You know what it is? He explains for the rolling thing, he shows you do that diagram of like the perfect roll, like right? It's because you start at the edge of the table where you're like standing upright. Mm-hmm. And then as you roll, you have to lean forward. And at a certain point, the weight of your shoulders is like over the weight of the roller.
Yes.
He's like, then you notice that it gets too thin, always at the exact same part. And he's like, you do like the diagram. The moment her shoulders are center of gravity over it, that's when she pushes too hard. It's literally the weight on her shoulders is making a divot in the center of the dough. It's like, my God, what's causing her shoulders to weigh down?
And then it's just you see the background sniffing the meat like,
it should be tequila just grabs him. What's the weight on your grandma's shoulders? How about running an entire family? God damn it. Like
So I don't know that tequila also prescribes the emotional problem.
That's true.
He's like, there's a great weight on your grandmother's shoulders. She's like, what are you talking about? She's like, 92 pounds. Because I think you would do once Jin has all the pieces together, he's like, holy shit, right?
Yes.
So this is very good. I think what I'm kind of like, what are the little clues we're going to get with Jin and the grandma to tip this off? I feel like the same way you have like all three things, there should be like a little hint with each of the things with the grandma.
Oh, so that's the question. Do we solve each individual thing as it goes?
No. Okay. I think you plant all the questions as it goes. I think you do. What is this weight on her shoulders?
She doesn't allow herself to cry.
No. I think Jin prescribes. Jin sees that she's wiping the tears away.
Yes.
I think Jin just realizes her knife is dull. And he's like, why is she cutting with a dull knife? That's weird.
Better than that.
And then so he's like, you can tell by the fact that she's crying that she's ruining the onions.
Yes.
And then I think you do the last thing is she's pressing them down. And then I think you want one of those moments where then Jin puts together all three things. He's like, aha, the weight on your shoulders is the weight of you carrying your family on your back.
Yeah.
You purposefully are letting yourself cry because I've never seen you cry other than when you're cutting onions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Every time you cry in Old Yeller, you're like, it must be someone's cutting onions in here. And then you do the third thing. He's like, it's that anger you have that's making you push the thing down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You haven't gotten over the anger. Yes, that's the bitterness. You haven't gotten over blank.
Okay, so these feel like three little mini scenes that are grandma's chop is cooking. Tequila's observing her, and then Jin is like kind of, he's like the Watson to his Holmes, basically, right?
Yes.
And then so it feels like you see the grandmother do something, Tequila diagnoses the problem and then kind of posits this question, and it feels like somewhere in that little micro moment, you would also want to hint at something with the grandma.
Yes, if you're going to do the story, I think it is essentially that the grandfather got up and left at some point, so she was responsible for the whole family.
Yes.
And it's essentially her whole life. She had the weight of supporting her whole family, and she had to remain strong, and she never expressed herself. And the only true emotion as time's gone on, the overwhelming emotion she's had, is nothing but anger towards the grandfather.
Anger at the grandfather and sadness over the life she lost.
Yes.
You know, like, her situation. Yeah. Sadness over and anger over how he hurt her.
Yeah. Yes. She has not been able to get past it, even in heaven, even in the afterlife.
Yeah.
It still weighs on her.
Yes.
And she's never been able to express herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's gonna express herself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm saying though is like, what are like, how do we hint at that? Because it's like you want Jin to kind of like, it's like the Sherlock Holmes thing. It's like the mud on the shoe or whatever is like, aha, you know, you.
Is it like, you know, is it like a wedding ring and then where's grandpa, or the tan line of a wedding ring? Is it, you know what I mean? Like there's different ways. Like to me, it feels like this is additional clues outside of the cooking. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, is there a shrine? Is there a photo? You know what I mean?
Do we want to hint at the grandpa at all before he goes and sees her throwing the dumplings down to hell is my question.
No, I don't think so. I think it should be like, something is here. Something is here. Something has caused her much pain in the world.
Here's what I can say. Maybe if you want to do like a comedic, maybe it's not, but like a comedic version would be they figured out these three things. Like, you know, Tequila has these three things written down, like toll blade, weight on her shoulders or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like something. And he tries to ask the grandma something and the grandma gets defensive and runs off. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's something she's not telling us. Jin, like, you know, tell us about your grandma. Like, there's something that's weighing on her. Like, does she have any reason for this or whatever? And he's like, no, like her life's been... No, like, she's great. She's Gram, you know? Like, you know, a while ago, like, when I was young, like you know, Grandpa got up and left and left her to support the whole family on her own and all that stuff. And, you know, now I think about it, I've never even seen her express herself or cry at all.
I've never really seen her to bother her that much.
Yeah, never really seen her to bother her at all. She kind of just stuffed those feelings down forever, you know, really, like, put a lid on it, like, really hard and whatnot. But, you know, that's just normal. And, yeah. And they just all sighed. He goes like, oh my, like, oh no, this sort of thing. And he's like, my God, I think I know what it is.
Like, he has a really obvious answer to it.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's like they're like, what would weigh on her shoulder or whatnot would be one way.
Know, she's pretty happy-go-lucky, minus this one obvious
okay,
thing.
Okay, here's the other pivot, right? Is this builds up to feel what feels like a very personal scene between Jin and the grandma, right? And so we have that, and we were also talking about doing like Jin telling the grandma that he never thought the dumplings tasted good, right?
Yes.
Or telling someone that this is, he always told her they were good because this was, you know, the same way that cooking them for him was how she showed her love for him. Like, him saying they were good is how he showed her love for him, his love for her, right?
Yes.
So it feels like...
There's a pivot, as everybody else clearly realizes what the problem with her is. Jin essentially just flippantly explaining it that way. Does then Tequila go to, like, does he, like... I'm trying to think, they realize, like, okay, Jin is part of the problem because he's like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Well,
like,
it's not Jin's not why her dumplings suck.
Though. No, I know.
I'm trying to think. Okay, so in terms of where this goes, it feels like he goes and he finds the grandmother throwing the dumplings into hell, right?
Yeah, dumping them down.
He's though. Like, I hope you enjoy your dumplings, you bastard. And then it's like, grandma, he's in hell. Like, he got it bad. Like, that's a punishment, you know? It's like, or whatever. Or maybe him, actually, here's what it would be. Jin telling the grandmother that, you know, his was his way of telling her that he loves. I don't know. Maybe that might knock something loose.
I think the lid is specifically about, like, again, she never got to tell off the grandpa. Mm-hmm. Like, she never expressed herself, like, never got through to him.
Yes.
So, like, I think after the solve, that is, like, again, she goes to the pit of hell.
Oh, that's her first time doing it. It's not something she does.
Yeah, to finally have her say sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think inherent in that is also the self-realization that, like, you know, you're not going to reach everybody. It's okay. You have to forgive despite, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably
inherent. She's not saying, like, wait, it was okay. She's saying, like, you really hurt me. Like, it made my life miserable. I have to move on it. Like,
yeah,
you know, are who you are and seems like you sure got the shit end of the stick at the end of the day. Oh,
you know,
I'll pray for you and, you know, I forgive you, but I'm going to go live my life up here.
And then she gives the dumplings to him.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. That's the first time.
Jin's going to help her realize that.
So it feels like you do these three little beats, right? And you're kind of setting up this mystery. And then maybe you do Tequila kind of directly asks the grandma. Like, he's like, you want these dumplings to suffer. Right, I like that. That, like, mm-hmm. when she pushes down on the lid, you're intentionally harming those dumplings. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right?
Yeah.
She's like, die, you're crazy. Jin, who's this stupid friend of yours? You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Bear with me. If it was step by step, mm-hmm. it'd be like, there's a weight on your shoulders or whatever. And then she would open up being like, it's always been, I always had to run, I ran the family by myself. I, like, you know, I was responsible for everybody. I always feel like I had the entire responsibility of everybody. But he's like, and she's like, you know, and then it's like, and now you don't have that. You don't have it. She's like, okay. And then, like, that's okay. And then the next thing is when she talks about never expressing herself, she should open up about something, like, smaller.
Yeah, no, I want it all come together as, like, this aha thing at the end.
Yeah.
It's got to be a Sherlock Holmes, like, putting all the pieces together.
Yes. Maybe it's as simple as, like, realizing where the grandpa, like, they're like, where is grandpa?
I mean, I think that's part of it. The question here, and then the other question is this. Do you want this to play as, like, a Sherlock Holmes, the audience doesn't know everything until that moment? Or is it like you can kind of follow along and see where it's going? You know what I mean? Like, it feels like you want to keep a little bit out, right? Where there's some oblique questions you don't know the answer to, or you're not showing it, or they know this is something.
Okay, what about this? Because you could also bring it to the final mystery, right? The final mystery, the one that no one even knows is a mystery, is why does Jin think they taste good?
Oh, right? Okay. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And why has Jin convinced himself that they're good dumplings? Right.
Right,
so then,
right,
like, you could do that. Essentially, they ask these questions to the grandma, and then it would turn, like, and again, maybe she gets defensive and stomps off or something like that. But then it turns to Jin, right? Because Tequila's like, how did you not know these taste bad? Like, the, like, or how did you, everyone else can taste, they taste good. Like, you know, tell me. And then Jin kind of tells this story about being a kid, and, you know, she would always make them. And it's just, you know, grandma went through some really tough stuff when she was young.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe then it's like you have that kind of aha moment.
Mm-hmm. I always come over to cheer her up, and she'd make me these dumplings. And, you know, I tell her how they were delicious. I always told her how delicious they were. And she'd always smile and whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Give me extra to bring home.
It was the only time she'd ever smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe Tequila can notice, he's like, have you ever told your grandma you love her? He's like, why would I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, all the, you know, yeah, of mm-hmm. course. Like, you know how you do. Like,
yeah, like she gives me a red envelope and I say, love you, grandma.
She knows I love her. Like, that sort of thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be like, what is she sad about? Or like, what was she sad about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, like, if Jin telling this story.
Yeah, there's a giant hole in this
yes,
story.
Yes, the giant hole in Jin's story is like, well, why was your, what was your grandma upset about? Like, why wasn't your grandma happy?
Yeah, it's like,
and then he's like, oh, you know, my grandpa left her because, oh, or something like that. Like, you could do like the kind of.
Yeah, and you can, and then you can pepper in your little Sherlock Holmesy, like, the line in your hand where your ring used to be, blah, blah, blah. This is, you must have
like,
had a.
He's like, Jin, that's it. He's like, what do you mean? She literally never talked about it. You know, like, she was way too busy taking care of all of us. It's like, it sounds like a weight on her shoulders, you know, or like that kind of thing.
She never let her emotions come out unless it was while chopping. Unless
I never even saw her cry about it, you know, and it's like
chopping onions.
You know, Jin would even say that. Like, she's a tough gal. She never cried about anything. It's like, you see, no, we all must express our emotions, but some of us must find an excuse, must find a way to do so in the, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Okay, so.
No,
okay.
She seemed like over it. Like, you know, she didn't have any pictures. She never mentioned him. She never talked about him. If you ever brought it up, she'd punch a wall. Like, she seemed over it.
He's like, you know, over it.
And then he stops and he goes, oh my. And then he could cut to grandma, who's like, I'll say it. And then maybe he asks, like, where is grandpa or whatever.
Oh, he would come in and he would be like, tell me about the day you met him. And then she would do the thing. And then she'd be like, tell me about the day he left you.
And then, now make dumplings for me.
Okay. Yeah, you want like, okay, it's close. It's like what I want is like for Jin to come in and be like, you're still mad about grandpa. And she's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, oh, yeah? The weight on your shoulders is the weight he left you. And she's like, And he's like, yeah, I never saw you cry when you were growing up, except for the only knife. He's like, he nails her to the wall with all these things. He's like, when you smothers those dumplings, you're picturing him with his new family, aren't you? And then you cut into the dumplings, and it's like they all have faces like, ah! Like it's like, it's okay, grandma. I get pissed off at stuff, too. But you know what helps? Letting it out.
Cut to them drifting as hard as they can on the.
And then they go to the hellhole, and then she starts by yelling at him.
I would do her and Jin hug. And then you cut to them, the other guys, Tequila, Brandy, and Cognac, like outside the kitchen watching this from afar. And Tequila's like, yes, yes. And then you cut to the next morning, and she brings out dumplings. And like, my God, these are amazing, grandma, or whatever.
Because I could also see her, the classic move in these sort of sequences is like she gets so pissed off at them that she kicks them out, right? You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, well, shit, now what? You know, and then there's like, Jin, you have to go do a last ditch thing. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like the build is investigate. They're getting on her nerves. They're prying. She doesn't like that. She gets so angry at them, she kicks them out. And then it's up to, but Jin has learned it through that sequence. This is the whole cause of it. And then it's up to him to go in and explain, right? You know what I mean? Like,
maybe
yes, exactly.
It is.
Yep. Go ahead.
And maybe this is how it starts. Like, if you want like the mystery, or if you want to understand it all at once, is Jin, rather than just instantly, Jin realizes what's wrong. He goes into the kitchen, and maybe what he says is grandma. She goes, what? make another batch of dumplings. She's like, I've made dumplings for you all day long. Like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Not for us. I want you to make dumplings for grandpa. And she stops like, why the hell would I do that? And then he's like, and then he explains it. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, I don't care about him. He's like, no, it's like, and then it's all those things. And then she looks at him like he asks her, you got to make dumplings for grandpa, because that's what she's going to do, right? She's going to make the dumplings and then send them down the well.
Okay. It's getting complicated, because it could also just be she is fully realized she's at peace and then can give him that when she's at peace, rather than the action of her. Do you see what I'm saying?
I think she has this breakthrough and they hug, and then I think they show that their dumplings are great, because they all taste the dumplings and they're great. And then she has one final thing to do after you've seen that she makes great dumplings. She goes off to give those great dumplings to the grandpa, and that's another step, because she gains enlightenment in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then she flies away.
I think so.
Okay.
So I think they hug. I think he says, like you said, he pins her to, this is about grandpa, and then she breaks down and Jin and his grandma hug and cry, and then you cut to them on the outside and they're like, yes, like finally, you know, it's like she knows she has found what's the bitterness that is ruining her dumplings or whatever.
It is 100% tequila sitting there like smoking a cigar and being like, yes, she has finally rooted out the bitterness in her heart. And then behind you see a truck backing up that's from a meat market, and then it's Brandon just like over here just like waving it into the garage.
Tequila, why are you smiling? Like they're crying over there. It looks like it's horrible. Look at them. He's like, I got feeling we're gonna have a good breakfast tomorrow. Yeah. And it just wakes up and like the sun comes up and the grandma comes out with dumplings and everyone's like, my god, these are amazing. Yeah. Like it's like, yeah, they figured it out. But yes, it's the meat. It's actually the meat.
It's just, yeah, it's like the truck is like Joe's super fresh meat and veg
shit. I guess, although if she ascends to heaven, who makes all the dumplings for the party?
She teaches it to Jin. She teaches the recipe, the family recipe.
So she's
Jin.
Taught him the way, and now Jin has one
future
mole.
Us, wait. Us
she's
finish.
Taught Jin everything she knows, and hear me out. The way we demonstrate that is Jin has a new mole on his face with one really long hair. Wait. It's like a wisdom mole. Like she's passed it on to him.
He just gave it. I was gonna say we'll solve this, but this movie will go on forever. Is that he comes back? He's like, guys, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Not only did she make amazing dumplings, but my grandma actually patched things up with grandpa and she ascended into enlightenment. And then they all just stare at him. He's like, what? It's amazing. He's like, who's going to make our dumplings? Son of a bitch.
Well, back to the plan. I guess we just blow the wall up.
No, he learns. He should learn.
But at any rate, Jin figures out what's going on, and then he comes to confront the grandmother. He's like, you're still mad at grandpa. And you're like, you're mad about grandpa, aren't you? And then she's like, what are you talking about? He explains what's going on. And I was thinking you could even do like when he explains it, like you do these match cuts to like we see her in like 1940s Hong Kong in the flashback, like as the door is slamming behind her, she tenses up as she's rolling the dumpling. Like you see those moments, right? Like from his childhood. And then, the two of them kind of come together about it. And then I'm trying to like that moment between them is the only thing I'm a little murky on.
I think once she breaks down and says, it's like, I think you might even do something like it's bothering her. And she's like, and that son of a bitch is in hell. And it's like, I can't even tell him how I feel anyways, or something like that. Eventually, I think once she admits it's about that, I think she like, I don't know. I don't know what else. Like, I think once she opens up about it, she's no longer in denial. And her and Jin hug.
It just feels like a too easy an end to the scene. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like the Jin is so like, what is Jin's relationship to people he hates? Right. Like I'm trying to, it feels like there's something missing at the end of that.
There is.
Cause it's not like, yes, you're right. And then she cries. Right. That just doesn't quite feel like it's it.
Part of the reason why I think it's tough, because it's like Jin is not in that place as a character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he's not
yeah.
the
he's
one
not
to give
the
him
man.
The wise
yeah, yeah,
man
yeah.
sort of speech. He's not the one to be like, you have to let forgiveness in. That's kind of a tequila thing. So it might be that Jin needs to tee it up and then tequila can come bring the family together there. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just tough because he's a flawed and he's in the journey right now and he's just not in a place to give that kind of advice.
Hear me out. What if you were going to do, she's like, of course I hate him. I never got the, or like, she's like, I'm so angry. You know, like I have all these feelings. I never got to tell him how it felt. right? Or like, I never got to say out loud how it felt. It's like, no, you just said it in your cooking. Like, you, these dumplings are an ode to how to your feelings, which are tortured, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe he's like, well, why don't we go tell him? He's like, what do you mean? And then you cut to them like dumping the onions down the thing in hell. It's just like, I hope you choke on these, you bastard.
But then would Jin know about that well, right? She would know about the well. It's not like Jin is like, that's the only hard part about that.
I mean, it's tough because you essentially have Tequila telling, like, Jin realizes it. Tequila breaks it through and he's like, and Jin realizes the problem. So it is that he's serving up the problem. Like, he is, like, I mean, we are setting it up that Jin understands why.
Yeah, he understands the problem. I just don't know that Jin understands what she should do to get over hating someone, is what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean?
It seems like, especially from a young guy.
What do you do to get over hate? It's a very internal thing. So I'm trying to think, like, what is the.
But it's advice, right? It's someone with life advice can give you that, give you a little bit of guidance there. It just doesn't feel like Jin is the right person for that or to be giving the, in that way, in that direct
or
way.
Or it's like, does she feel understood now because someone else, you know.
Or is it something that she was just blind? I guess what I was originally thinking was like, it was something that she was blind to and the realization of it, like a good therapy breakthrough. Like, oh, this is like, it's like she was just not addressing it or whatever.
That doesn't quite feel like enough to me. She needs to let go of it, not realize it. You know what I mean? Like, she's confronted on it. I don't know. Like,
To me, you need to have catharsis, right?
Yeah.
You need to have a moment for her to have a cathartic thing. It feels like it's external. It feels like it's an action-based thing. It does feel like it should be. She finally gets to go yell down the well at him. It's like, you know, I'm going to tell him how I feel, whatever. She yells down the well at him. It's like, do you feel better? She's like, no. It didn't make a difference. And that's the realization, too. But you know what I mean? But there's an action there associated with her catharsis.
But it is like you want to wrap this up. So I'm also trying to, like, how do you do that in a tidy way? So they figure out what the problem is. They call her out on it.
I think she has to do something with the well. Because, like, she needs to, like, right, in order for her to get over it, she needs to do something about it, right? And it's tough because it's, like, it doesn't really play internally to just be like, oh, well, just, like, don't more think about him or just, like, oh, yeah, forgive him. It feels like she needs to do a big symbolic gesture.
Well, again, it would be, it's tough. It's like two scenes, which maybe is the way to get through this episode on time. It's like, this is another two scenes. It's like, if you want it that way, this then you're saying that this moment isn't the catharsis, so it can't be. So, like, no. It's going to be a whole other sequence, like, another thing. And the thing to do that would be, like, she realizes it, and then, yes, what she does is she goes to the well. Again, she wasn't really dealing with it, so she goes to the well, and she lets out her emotions.
And a lifetime of
she
resentment.
She just yells at him.
Yeah, a lifetime of resentment.
And you cut away, you don't even hear it all. It's just, like, Jin off in the distance watching his grandma yell into the hell pit at the grandpa.
Oh, just
and then that didn't solve it. Like, that's not the problem. Like, that's great that she did that, but that's not the next. Again, that's still just, that's not just releasing it. That's just, like, that's just bittering her up even more. And be, like, again, Tequila maybe with, like, his life experience or whatever. Again, I think the most touching thing is her forgiving the grandpa for, again, it's not about condoning.
But to me, that's part two, right? Because you can't.
That's what I'm saying. It might be.
Yeah. So I'm saying, I think you're on the right track. You're saying there's a scene where she goes and she yells. She has her cathartic release for it. And he's like, good, you feel better. You could have the thing where she goes and she is better at dumplings, you know, and everyone's like, oh, wow, this is better now. And then in the course of that, she sees the family. She sees the group of people. She says something, you know, maybe nice to Jin. It's like, I'm glad you found people that you could be a family with, you know, when I'm not there.
I think you're right. I think
and
you
then
do.
She,
yeah.
And then that night, she sneaks off because she's had that internal realization, seeing them eat and having the family together.
There's a happy
she sneaks
meal.
Off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
She sneaks off. And then Jin or whatever sees her going and follows her out. And he gets to see this private moment where her growth was now she's forgiving grandpa and giving him the good dumplings that she made.
I think it's this. I think what you do is this. I think she admits to Jin that, you know, like, as he calls her out, she's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, you know, he left. I can't tell him how he feels. And it's like, yeah, he's like, I never confront people. You know what I do is if I get mad, I just break stuff. So, you know, take that thing and break it. She's like, nah. No, then she breaks something. And then the thing you do, it's not her hugging Jin and crying that makes Tequila smile and goes, we're going to have great breakfast tomorrow. It's he's watching the two of them smash shit in their room. And, like, the grandma scream at the top of her lungs. She's letting out the emotion, essentially,
yes.
Right? And you cut to the next day, the food is all good. And then everyone's laughing and having a good time. And then you kind of punch in on the grandma and her face softens. And then it cuts to she's outside, you know, by this well or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Jin comes up behind her. And, yes. You know, she's talking to the grandpa.
And then when she gives it to the grandpa.
And when she dumps the last one in, you know.
Like, these are delicious. And then she ascends into complete enlightenment. Because she's.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she like, reaches out and drops the dumpling in. And then it go. And then, yeah, she's like, you know, like, I'm glad you found people that you care about, Jin. Like, you know, I spent too long, you know.
Worrying about.
Or whatever. Then she has the emotional moment with Jin.
Okay.
And then,
so Yeah, so
if you wanted to demonstrate that Jin doesn't understand, he's like, what are you doing, grandma? He's like, I'm going to give your grandpa some dumplings. Like, don't give him the good dumplings. Give him the shitty dumplings. He sucks. He's like, no, Jin, you've taught me that sometimes it's you need to let go. And she's like, I hope wherever you are, you're like, I know it must be hard down there. You know, here, have some food. Mm. And then, you know, and then he's like, oh, what did you do that for?
I was still
grandma?
Hungry.
And then she's like ascending. She's like,
he's like, oh, man, I was still hungry. Wait, where'd you go, grandma?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think I get that.
I get it.
Yeah, I get the rhythm of that.
All right. Well, listen, we're gonna
well,
Will's
knock that up.
Get to his nose to the grindstone and churn.
Yes,
some
I'm
butter.
Feeling really
churn
good about
some
all that.
Butter. Give me some butter, Will.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
William,
cool.
Give me that buttermilk.
Right after the
and
break.
Everything I write, you can feel my love for my story boys.
Right after the break.
Right after the break.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation. Every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
Interior kitchen day. Working a rolling pin with machine efficiency and an artist's grace, Grandma turns a pile of flour-dusted dough balls into slim, perfectly circular dumpling wrappers. Across the counter, Tequila and Jin watch with rapt attention. Cognac and Brandy look on, bored in the background. Jin holds up a wrapper, beaming with pride.
Soft as an earlobe, thin as a wafer. Graham, you haven't lost a step.
Yes, her technique is stellar. But observe, Tequila holds up a jeweler's eyepiece as he examines the wrapper. Here, in the center of each wrapper, a dent where the dough becomes perilously thin.
So?
So look closer. He points at Graham, still rolling dough, and we go into super slow motion. POV, Tequila Vision. A Terminator-style computer HUD scans and analyzes every micro-movement in Graham's rolling technique. Bleep-bloop noises, random strings of data, and cool blinky graphics abound. The dent is formed at the apex of Graham's roll, at the precise moment her shoulders loom directly above the dough.
Target.
Sure enough, Graham seems to lean over the dumpling discs as she rolls them out.
So?
Don't you see? The weight on her shoulders literally presses into the food. Tequila Vision punches in on the dough, analyzing the thickness of the dough and the PSI force of Graham's rolling pin in agonizing detail. NPOV. Tequila strokes his chin like Sherlock Holmes. The game is afoot. Your Graham carries a heavy burden, Jin. But what? As he pontificates, Brandy whines in the background.
Ugh, I'm bored, and I'm still freaking starving.
Not now, Brandy. Gah!
Come on, there's gotta be something worth eating around here.
As Cognac and Brandy get up to search for food, we cut to interior kitchen later. Graham slices and dices an onion with furious speed. A Da Vinci with the blade. Jin grins like he's watching a prize fighter.
Ah, yeah. Look at that blade work. Hey, Graham, you ever think of becoming a knife fighter?
She gives him a dismissive wave as she wipes tears from her eyes. Tequila leans in. Tears. Interesting.
No duh, she's chopping onions.
A sure sign of a dull blade.
Huh?
Cute Tequila Vision. In slow motion, we punch in on that onion, zooming to a microcellular level. We watch as Graham's dull knife blade tears into the cells of the onion and rips them asunder, causing little bursts of liquid. A sharp knife will slice right through an onion, but a dull one crushes and tears at its cells, releasing lacrimatory factor synthase, which irritates our eyes.
You looked that one up, Will?
You bet your ass I did.
And Tequila Vision. Graham rubs her eyes. Tequila furrows his brow. Jin gapes like a slackshot doofus. A master of her skill would never let their steel lose its luster. The plot thickens. Cognac cracks open the fridge and smells a bowl of dumpling fixins.
Ugh, this meat's gone rancid.
She shows it to Brandy, who nearly hurls upon whiffing it.
No wonder her food tastes like ass. She's got no sense of smell.
Hey, would you two keep it down back there?
Interior kitchen day. A bamboo steamer sits on a pan of boiling water. Graham watches it like a hawk, a stopwatch in her hands. Tequila studies her, whispering to Jin. At last, the steam, the most crucial part of the cooking process. Timing is everything. Grandma clicks her stopwatch. She reaches out and raises the lid. Steam rises. Jin's eyes glisten, but Tequila gasps in horror.
Picture
a travesty before God.
What are you talking about?
This is the moment where Graham's dumplings die. Cue tequila vision. Time rewinds and we zoom in as Gram-Gram goes to grab that steamer lid. She reaches for the lid at the perfect moment. Yet in that moment, before she lifts, she pushes down. Cool data and arrows and stuff highlight a downward thrust in Gram-Gram's arm before she lifts the lid off the steamer. And the air pressure on the dumplings increases tenfold. We zoom even further into the steamer, through the steamer, and into a dumpling. The temperature skyrockets. The onions, oozing moisture from the dull blade's cruel attack, boil in their juices, causing a micro-steam within the dumpling itself. Inside the dumpling, juices bubble and steam. Flavor, destroyed. Texture, ruined. NPOV, a traumatized tequila strokes his mustache with grave concern. This is anger. Hatred. She wants these dumplings to suffer. Behind him, Cognac talks on the phone while Brandy cleans out the walk-in freezer.
Yeah, we need 50 pounds of fresh pork, 20 pounds of fresh shrimp, and how are you on veggies?
Jin gives Tequila a dismissive scoff as he watches his sweet, frail old Gram-Gram at work.
Suffer, schmuffer, Tequila. Gram-Gram is the nicest old lady that ever lived. There's not an angry bone in her body, and her dumplings are as good as ever.
He pops one of the freshly steamed dumplings in his mouth. Jin, you fool no one. You think her dumplings are as gross as the rest of us do?
Nuh-uh.
You think I can't see the quiver in your jaw, the shudder in your throat, the churning, burning rumble in your... Jin's resolve cracks, and he confesses to Tequila in an ashamed whisper.
Gah, fine. They taste like garbage, okay? They always have. What do you want me to say? Gee, Gram-Gram, your food really stinks. That's not how we do things in my family. We don't just go around telling everyone how we feel. We bottle it up and stuff it down and... Oh my god.
Jin's eyes light up as a realization dawns on him. He turns to Gram-Gram with a solemn look in his face.
Hey, Gram-Gram? We need to talk.
Interior Gram-Gram's room, day. Jin sits on the bed next to Gram-Gram in her cramped, knick-knack, and doily-festooned old lady room.
You're still mad at him.
Mad at who?
Jin points to a picture of a young Gram-Gram with Grandpa, a dapper salesman in a nice suit.
At Grandpa. That bum ran off with a showgirl and left you without a penny to your name.
Gram-Gram gives a dismissive wave.
It was a different time back then. It was all so long ago.
Jin puts a hand over hers and gives a sympathetic nod.
Your whole life, you carried the weight of our family on your shoulders. You still do, even now.
Flashback 2. Enter your Gram-Gram's house, 1940s night. A teary-eyed young Gram-Gram rolls dumpling dough as a silhouetted salesman slams the front door and walks out of her life forever. As the door slams shut, her shoulders tense up and she pushes down hard into the dough. End flashback. Gram-Gram shakes her head, pushing away the truth of Jin's words.
Now don't be silly. If my life was so sad, did I ever shed a tear over it?
Not once. But I've seen you cut a lot of onions.
Flashback 2. Enter your Gram-Gram's house, 1980s night. An adorable baby Jin watches Gram-Gram chop onions in the kitchen, clearly sobbing as she slices.
You always reached for the dullest knife. It was the only way you could cry without us knowing.
End flashback. Jin frowns as he holds that picture of Gram-Gram and Grandpa.
I never met Grandpa, but Mom always said your dumplings were his favorite. If I were you, I'd see his stupid face every time I looked at a dumpling, and I'd want to make him pay.
Enough! That bastard broke my heart, stole my money, and ruined my cooking. And the worst part is, I never even stood up for myself. I never showed him how I feel.
No, but you can now.
He hands her the framed photo.
Huh?
Smash it, Gram-Gram. It'll make you feel cool.
I can't. Do you know how hard it was to get a framed photo up there?
He's probably smooching that showgirl in hell.
Yeah!
Gram-Gram smashes the photo into the ground. Jin hands her a lamp.
Now smash this lamp.
Yeah!
She smashes it into the ground. Jin hands her a vase.
And this vase.
Yeet!
Gram-Gram yeets the vase out her second-story window.
How do you feel?
I feel cool, Kyle. Cool as a cucumber.
Interior restaurant, day. Tequila hears all the smashing and screaming upstairs and gives a knowing smile. Something tells me we're gonna have a good dinner tonight. Behind him, Cognac signs for a meat delivery as Brandy hauls two big slabs of frozen pork in from outside. Interior restaurant, night. Gram-Gram and Jin emerge from the kitchen with two big platters full of dumplings and two big smiles on their faces. They set the platters down for the crew. Everyone grabs a dumpling and takes a bite. The awestruck looks in their faces say it all. Everyone stares in astonishment for a beat, then dives in on the platters with voracious appetite. Interior restaurant, night. A loving family tableau as our crew chows down on dumplings, slurps tea, and laughs and has a good time. They raise a toast to Gram-Gram. She gives a humble bow as they cheer. Later, Gram-Gram watches Jin and his friends sharing their meal. A happy smile forms on her face. Then an idea comes to her mind. Discreetly, she steps away from the table with her plate of dumplings and heads for the back door. Jin notices her leaving. His smile fades to confusion. He gets up and follows out the door. Exterior, well, night. Grandma sits by a well in a park, holding her plate of dumplings. A nearby sign reads, "Hell well, no spitting."
I don't know if they let you eat down there, but...
Jin approaches with confusion.
Hey, Grim, what you doing?
I'm sending some dumplings down to your grandfather.
That jerk? No way. Send the bad dumplings or some boogers.
A wise man once said, hating someone is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. I'm done drinking poison, Kyle. I'm ready to forgive.
But he sucks.
Even bad people get hungry sometimes.
And with that, she scrapes the dumplings off her plate and sends them down the well.
Bon appetit.
Jin frowns as he watches the dumplings plummet down the well into a fiery hellscape below.
Aw, man.
Suddenly, a blast of golden light hits Jin. He looks up and gawks. Grandma is glowing bright gold and slowly rising into the air.
Well, would you look at that?
Gram, what's happening?
I think I'm finally moving on.
Wait, Gram, don't go.
I love you, Kyle.
I need you to cook dumplings for my heist.
You have everything you need.
She touches his heart.
In here.
Gram!
May you be safe, happy, healthy. May you live with ease.
And with a poof of golden glitter, she disappears. Jin drops to his knees, crestfallen.
No.
But then, something wafts into frame. A slip of golden paper. It lands at Jin's feet. He picks it up. It reads, Kyle's Super Special Dumpling Recipe by Gram. A tear falls onto the recipe. Jin wipes his eyes, tucks the recipe into his pocket, stands tall, puts on a cool pair of shades.
It's night.
Then spits into the hellwell and runs away. Well, that's the scene, guys.
Hey, this is fun. This is a long scene.
It was a lot.
We start with, like, we're going to do, like, a whole food anime in 5 minutes, but instead I think we just did a whole food anime in the middle of the movie. That plus the previous scene. It's like a good, like, 19 minutes, like, a whole
it's
thing.
It's a big chunk. I do love the implication that it's just, they just needed new ingredients. It's such a good, I think that's one of my favorite little background jokes I think I've ever seen.
I'm always a sucker for that kind of thing like that. Yeah, like, because you get to have your cake and eat
exactly.
it, too.
Exactly, it's
yeah.
a cake and eat it, too thing, where it's like, yes, through this
we,
thing, they
we healed her, and they did, but they didn't do anything.
Of course it doesn't have anything to do with the flavor of it, like, to
and
that
it just
level.
Makes tequilas just a fucking blowhard.
Yeah, but tequila. It definitely. I love that tequila is just this like smug, insufferable man who thinks he understands everything about the world.
He just never knows such
a
bad
bit.
Food.
And he does a little bit, and he does enough that it's annoying.
Yeah,
but then he doesn't at all because the one thing is the meat was rotten.
Yeah,
but he solved like a spiritual crisis.
Yeah.
Anyway. Fun one this week.
That was really fun. I had a lot of fun putting that together after we did our little break. A little bit of trivia for you. Not for just for you, the audience, and for my fellow writers, because I sprung this one on you. The thing Grandma says to him at the end is a Buddhist loving kindness prayer. When you're, you know, it's like sort of when you're practicing, you know, it's like prayer for goodwill towards others. You wish for people's safety, happiness, for them to be healthy and that they live with ease. So I thought that would be a
nice
little thing for Graham to say.
Dude, how spiritual, dude. You're getting spiritual love in this podcast. Everything
you're
is great.
Spiritual love. You're getting cinematic love. You're getting podcast love.
Audio love.
Foodie love.
Culinary love. It's everything.
Heist love.
Will, tell me about that fan art.
We got a really awesome piece of fan art from Struthika Sabu this week. She had previously done a really awesome drawing of Mrs. Wonderful, and she just did a great sketch of the crew. So you can find that on our Facebook group, bit.ly/storybreakfb. Also find all sorts of good fan art and other Storybreak content on our Twitter at RJStoryBreak.
Thank you also to Chad Ellis for helping edit and doing the sound design for our little segments there. And also thank you to MaximumFun.org. That's just, why don't they say it that? .org sucks. You should be like .org. MaximumFun.org for all of your podcasting needs. Head over to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the other great podcasts on the network that we are on. We are RJ Storybreak on Twitter, Storybreak, bit.ly/StorybreakFB on Facebook. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And sometimes if you got a problem, it's as simple as the meat's raw. Rotten.
Sometimes
rotten.
If you've got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out my hook while my DJ revolves it.
Hey, I'm Maneke.
And I'm James. And together, we are the self-proclaimed Wonder Twins of podcasting and host Minority Corner.
We tackle subjects like LGBTQ topics, pop culture,
and untold histories of American POCs, like the true story of escaped slave turned pirate turned Navy man in the Civil War turned congressman Robert Smalls.
Plus current events from our perspective.
Deep dive movie and TV reviews. You'll also get
awesome book recommendations from their neighborhood-friendly librarian.
Don't forget my award-winning Jennifer Hudson impressions.
And I'm telling you,
while never taking ourselves too seriously.
Minority Corner, because together
we're the majority.
Every Friday here on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.